In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
The technical term is hysterical strength, though the evidence for it isn't as much scientific as it is anecdotal. But you've heard the stories. Desperate mothers somehow lifting entire cars off of their children or fighting off wild animals to save their babies. There's not much research supporting that phenomenon, but if you want to see it in action, politically at least, in Canada, head to Queen's Park, the provincial government legislature in downtown Toronto.
These kids, all of them lose out. All of these kids are going back in the system, in the schools, without the support they need, without the therapy they need. This is evidence-based. These kids are desperate.
See, a couple of weeks ago, Doug Ford's Conservative government announced changes would be coming to autism funding in the province. We'll get to the details of that funding, but suffice it to say that for parents of autistic children who've spent years battling for every scrap of help for their kids, it was not a welcome move. And so these parents did what they've been doing since their children were born. They called, and they showed up, and they organized, and they fought with everything they have. Will the government back down in the face of that outrage? On Monday, Tory MPPs gave the Premier and the Minister of Children's Services a standing ovation. So not yet, anyway. Was there ever, a good way to handle the autism file in Ontario? Has any government gotten this issue right? And has Ford's government, which has held tough to many reforms in the face of anger from across the province, finally met the people that it should not, under any circumstances, have messed with? What happens next? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Cynthia Mulligan is the City News reporter at Queen's Park. She's been covering this file for years, since it's been a file. How chaotic has the past week been at Queen's Park?
It has been incredibly chaotic. And you have to remember, the session only just resumed on Tuesday. And by Wednesday, all the media here in the gallery felt like we had already been at it for 3 months.
Right.
So it's very intense. Lots of emotions. I mean, lots of parents coming, just absolutely desperate, begging for help for their child, and they're desperate because they think that they're going to lose all hope for their child with autism.
So take me back to the beginning of the changes to the autism funding that started this outcry.
Well, early February, I think it was February 6th, Minister Lisa McLeod made an announcement. They were talking about changing the rules around autism therapy. And keep in mind, and I've stressed this in my stories, no government has ever gotten this right. It is a difficult file. It is challenging. And parents have had to fight over and over and over again for years for their child to get them the funding that they need, because autism therapy can cost upwards of $80,000 every year for the intense therapy. So we knew that the Liberals back in 2016 tried to change the wait list, and they backed down after about 3 months because the parents were so upset. And so they eliminated the cap on age. That's a big distinction. Parents don't want their child to age out of therapy at the age of six. They want it to continue on. But we do know research suggests that the more intense therapy, the earlier, the better. But it doesn't mean that you have to cut it off and that it has no impact whatsoever after the age of six, which is what parents are arguing for. So I'm sort of going around in circles here. But Minister McLeod inherited a massive wait list. She says it's 23,000. And I've been doing this story for, oh my God, decades. And you have kids who are on the wait list for therapy for years before they get off the wait list and get the therapy that they need. And it's a massive problem. And it grew, that wait list grew under the Liberals. Doug Ford promised to make it better. What they decided to do is eliminate the wait list within 18 months and give more children less therapy. And they're capping the therapy, and it's also capped based on age. So a child under the age of six will get $20,000 worth of therapy a year. And then once they turn six, they'll get $5,000 worth of therapy a year. And remember, it can be up to $80,000 a year. So parents are absolutely devastated and desperate, and they say that their child will not get enough therapy.
And they've been showing up at Queen's Park.
Yes, and they are promising many rallies. I have heard that there's one on Wednesday, and there's also another one being planned for early March next week. But they have been coming. They've been packing the gallery. They've been in the hallways, just absolutely devastated. And, you know, they are very impactful because they are coming, and there's just absolute fear in their eyes, and they're crying, and they're desperate. They have nowhere to turn. They've run out of money. You know, one woman was telling me, I've used up all my RSPs. I've remortgaged my house. I've begged my family and friends for years, and now I've got nothing left.
Can you give me a sense of the scope of this problem? How much money is at stake, and how many kids are we talking about in Ontario?
There are roughly 40,000 children with autism in Ontario. Right now, the budget for the autism file is $321 million.
Do we have any sense of how long these plans have been in preparation for? Have we done any, or has the government done any research, gone back to experts? Where did this come from and when?
Well, it's interesting because the minister is taking a lot of backlash over the experts that have endorsed this file. And I've been trying to ask her, tell me the experts that said this was a good idea. And she points to Holland Bloorview and CHEO, which is a hospital in Ottawa. But they're diagnostic centers. And what she did was she doubled the money for diagnostics. So it would make sense that they would think that that's a good plan. But I said to her, okay, but what expert authority said it's a good idea for you to give more children far less funding? She pointed to the two diagnostic centers as well as Erin Oaks, who did write an email in support of her and this plan, but I have contacted them repeatedly and they won't answer my questions about it now, about what they thought was a good idea.
One of the things that I've been noticing, because there's been a lot of outrage from parents of autistic children on social media about this, and the thing that they keep highlighting is that they're constantly figuring out new things about these proposed changes. So do we have any idea of what we do know and like the stuff that we still don't know about how this is happening?
Well, there's so much. And they're right. There's more they don't know than what they do know. And the information from the ministry has been coming out in little trickles. Like day one, they never mentioned that, oh, by the way, we're capping this at $5,000 and $20,000 a year. So that was a shock. It's also going to be based on income. So if you make $55,000 a year, you're going to start being clawed back. And we've been asking for days. All last week, I was asking the ministry, okay, what is the means test? What are the exact levels of income? And what will you get as a result? And we still have not seen that list. They also don't know, you know, what kind of therapy they can get. I've been seeing on Twitter that they've been told they can't get speech therapy, for example. So parents really don't have a lot of details. And one of the things they're absolutely terrified about is this takes effect April 1st.
I was just going to ask you, how long before this actually takes effect and what happens before that? Is there any chance to stop it, or are they just trying to figure out how they're going to have to change their financing?
Well, at this point, it looks like they're going to have to figure out how to change their financing. But keep in mind, these are little kids, many of them. And if they're not doing 30 hours of therapy a week, their parents may need to put them in school. Well, the schools can't handle this influx of 23,000 children all of a sudden. They're not equipped. So I've been asking the education minister, Lisa Thompson, what are you going to do? And her response was, well, we're consulting with parents and stay tuned. So it seems like they don't have this all figured out just yet, because you would think that the education minister should be able to say right away when they're making this change and they know more kids are going to get up in this into the school system, this is how we have you covered in the school system. But instead, she's left parents hanging, who are already at the edge of a cliff, and they don't know what they're going to do. So the problem is just getting exacerbated. So it doesn't seem like they have rolled this out properly. whatsoever. And adding to the controversy, Minister McLeod has already had to apologize to Ontaba, which is an association of behavioral therapists, for bullying them and threatening them that if they didn't sign on to this plan, it would be 4 long years. And then we found out, I broke the story on Thursday, that the ministry froze the wait list at least in October. So they froze the wait list so that no child could get off the wait list and into therapy at least 5 months ago. Now, a ministry spokesperson on background told me, well, that's because we ran out of money. The system was so broken and so broke that we couldn't get therapy for kids. But there are lots of questions on that as well, because, you know, the therapists then were sitting around being paid to do what exactly? Because kids were coming, graduating from therapy, so there were spaces opening, but they were left blank. And these people, these frontline workers, were instructed to not say anything and not tell parents. So parents who think that they have hope that their child could come off the list soon actually had zero hope that their child would come off the list, and they were kept in the dark. So there's a real sense of betrayal there by families. There's one father who's been tweeting a lot saying, you know, I knew my son was high on the list to get into therapy, and we would call the hospital every Monday, hoping that this week he would get off the list. So for 5 months, they were doing that. And there's a real sense of betrayal and frustration.
Do you get the sense that the government might have picked a fight with the wrong adversary here? I mean, some of the stuff we've been seeing from these parents has been both heartbreaking and also incredibly angry, to the point where there's a campaign to have Lisa McLeod resign.
You know, it really surprises me that they wouldn't have seen this coming. Because in 2016, when the Liberals changed the wait list and put parents who had been waiting on it for years, only to put them on a different wait list that would go on for years, and offered them a paltry $8,000, the backlash was immense, and the Liberals backed down in 96 days. I don't understand why the Ford government didn't see this coming. And the optics, right or wrong, of seeming to be treating families of some of our most vulnerable children in a cold-hearted manner are just bad politics. It's not going to serve them well.
Yeah, I mean, just reading some of these is, parents of children with autism know how to fight. They fight for their kids every day with every breath they take. The parents will win. Stay strong. We're with you. Hashtag resign Lisa McLeod. There just seems to be a... Well, these are people who are used to fighting these campaigns, right? They're used to calling. They're used to showing up at offices. They're used to checking in on wait lists. And a couple of people I've seen said, I don't have anything else to do but try to help my kid.
Right. And what is more, who is more stronger and intense than a parent who's trying to protect their child?
How many of them have you met in the past week? What's that been like?
You know, it's sad. And I will say, it's sad for everyone. And I see... Doug Ford staffers, and they look broken too. Nobody's enjoying this. And it's just so sad, you know, and I think society needs to have a really good conversation about these children and how they should be treated, because I do think that they have been stigmatized over the decades. And I think that governments were very slow to respond to them, because it is different than a child who has a physical disease. Everybody talks about, you know, comparing it to cancer. I'm not going to do that, but it's different, right? And I think that we as a society need to really talk about, are we going to take care of these children properly or not? And if we decide that we want to, we have to accept the fact that you probably need another billion in funding. Jeez. For these children, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting parts about the age cap, whether it stays in place or doesn't, is that there's been a lot of research going around, and there was a piece in, I can't remember whether it was the New York Times or the New Yorker this weekend, but we'll post it on our social media when we run this story, about we are now getting to the point where the first generation of kids who were really diagnosed with autism when we started to understand the illness are now becoming adults, and there is absolutely no care in place for that.
No, and that's another disaster. Once they age out, then what? And you have parents, middle-aged parents, older, who are terrified of what's going to happen when, A, they're 80 and can't take care of their children any longer, or B, when they pass away, who's going to take care of them if they're not self-sufficient. I just don't think giving more children just a scrap of therapy is the right answer either. And overwhelmingly, parents are saying, this is not what we want. We would rather stay on the list for 3 years and know that our child will get more therapy. Many parents also say, look, I can last a year or two, remortgage the house again. I just need to know that my child will get the therapy that they need after that. But now they don't have that option anymore.
Do you have a sense that the government is flexible here? I know we talk about the Ford government sometimes digging in their heels, but this has been, like you said, it's been tough for everybody. Do you have a sense that there's any flexibility to these changes?
No, but that doesn't mean they won't be flexible if the polls suddenly show them that this is not going over well. I'm sure they're doing internal polling on this to get the sense from the public of how they're faring on this. And I would imagine, my guess is they're not faring well. So far, what I've been told from all the main staffers on this file is we are absolutely not backing down. There will be no money. This is the plan. It's not changing. Minister McLeod has said that repeatedly, even after meeting with two mothers who had tears, you know, going down their cheeks, meeting with these two moms behind closed doors. She came out and said, let me be clear. This is the plan. This is what we're doing. Premier Ford has left the door open just a little bit. He told me a week or so ago in a news conference, you know, plans can always be improved, but this is it so far. But in Washington, he again said, well, plans can always be improved. So perhaps they might salvage something by throwing some more money into it or making some changes. I keep wondering why it's such a rigid one-size-fits-all, because there are many different levels on the spectrum for autism. And you have kids who are severely autistic, who are nonverbal and still aren't potty trained versus others who are functioning. They do not need the same level of treatment. And yet they will all get the same amount of money regardless of where they are on the spectrum. Why not make it a little bit more custom made, tailor made to the needs of the child, which is what parents want.
The government does dig in its heels and won't change this. You mentioned mm-hmm. parents are planning protests. They've already been at Queen's Park. How ugly does this get before April 1st?
I think it will get increasingly desperate and ugly, definitely. And I don't think the parents are going to back down. And, you know, they are so well organized. And you've seen their social media. They know how to use it. They use it well. And they're banding together.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't for their kid, right?
Exactly.
If this goes through, despite all the outrage, does Lisa McLeod survive as Minister of Children?
She does if Doug Ford is still happy with her. So that there's the question. Is she doing what Doug Ford wants her to do? Or is she doing this because she truly believes this is the right way to go? Because I think the PCs like the sound of, we eliminated the wait list. I think that that was their goal, so that they could say, we promised to make it better. Look, we eliminated the wait list. Well, they are. But there's a lot of fallout from that.
Thanks so much, Cynthia.
My pleasure.
Cynthia Mulligan, Queen's Park reporter for City News. That was The Big Story. For more from us, we're at thebigstorypodcast.ca. We've got lots of episodes for you there. And we are at frequencypodcastnetwork.com, where we have lots of podcasts for you. You can find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN or at FrequencyPods. Shout out to the Canadian Podcast Awards, which just named The Big Story the Outstanding News or Current Affairs Show of 2018. You can find us wherever you get podcasts, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Castro or Deezer. Wherever you find us, leave us a rating, leave us a review, tell your friends. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.